If you would, turn to a very familiar passage, Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3, and I want to read verses 19 through 26. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, Amen. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I intended to read that a little bit later, but I read it to begin with. But I wanted to say these things here first. And this is very familiar to you all. You will have heard it before. But when we gather together in a place such as this, there's one thing that we always have. The Bible.
Yes, sir.
We have this book of words. Now, the book itself in leather and ink, or whatever it might be made of, is not to be worshipped. Men made this book. It certainly was the purpose of God that it be made by men, but it is the words in it that matter. Jesus Christ says, my words are spirit and they are life.
Yes.
That's not mere paper and ink. Although God has been pleased to record it in paper and ink. There are those who will tell you, don't place anything on the Bible. We don't want to denigrate the Word of God. But let me give you something as it relates to this that idea. I have this little device right here, and I've got a Bible on it. It's got concordance, and a lot of other things on there.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to start worshiping this too? And not put anything on it. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't take care of it. If you want to use it, you certainly are going to take care of these things. But we're not to be worshiping those. It's the words in it is what means something. And what I'm trying to bring out this morning is this. Words are important.
Yes, sir.
And I know all of you have heard this before. I mean, I've never heard this myself before, and I've not had anybody say it about me. But some have said it to others, and some have had it said about them. But that some people might say, he's just too picky with words. I heard this from Earl years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He had this saying, and Earl said that too, and I don't know if somebody said that to him or not, but... But he had this saying, though, that an analogy, if you will, and I'm going to kind of make it mine to, you know, where we're at today. But if you wanted brain surgery to take off a tumor or something like that, or any surgery, really,
yeah.
Are you going to go find somebody who watched a YouTube video to have that surgery?
Yeah.
I don't suggest you do that.
Yeah.
You want someone who has studied the subject. Someone who has spent years studying it and also spent time perfecting it.
Yes.
They know just where to cut and how much to cut.
Yeah.
Why, with your ever-living, never-dying soul, would you not be concerned with exactly what God's words says?
Exactly.
Words matter. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to say, and I've said it here before, but I am in no way think I'm an expert on God's word. That's not what I'm saying. If I know anything at all, it is because God has revealed it to me. But he does say to study to show yourself approved of God.
Yes, sir.
But we often read the scripture and we skip over words, and maybe not even meaning to do his word injustice. I've done it before.
Oh, yeah.
But we often, especially with small words, we kind of pass over those and do not give them much thought. I want to look at one of those instances where we might skip over a small word. I'm a fallen clay pot. I've missed things and I will miss things. So this is coming from one who has done this, and God has brought it to my attention to correct me before. And hopefully that will continue, you know, by his grace. I'm not talking about any kind of confidence in myself. I'm talking about confidence in God and his word. This is not my message, but look at this once again. Joe's already mentioned this account, but turn with me to 2 Peter 1 real quick for a minute. 2 Peter 1 and verses 16 through 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word of God he has given us, and it says it's a more sure word of prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Peter tells us even more than seeing a vision of Jesus Christ, as they did, as Joe was describing earlier. And that's what Peter is saying here. Now, you go back to Romans 3, we read in verse 22, it says, let's read that one. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ,
yes,
unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. It says by faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not in Jesus Christ, but the faith of Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is important.
Yes, sir.
Don't get me wrong. But this says faith of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Now, the passage I just went through, there are three things I want to bring out in this passage as God has revealed to me in his word. There are two laws spoken of here, and they are different. You have the law of works, and you have the law of faith. Mm-hmm. Then we have verse 22 where it speaks of the faith of Christ. So let's begin by speaking about this law mentioned in our text in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God.
Amen.
We know what we read in verse 27, Paul distinguishes between the law of works and the law of faith. The law of works. That sounds to me like a law where we do something or we are expected to do something. It is the law of do this and live. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we cannot do this.
Exactly.
It says in our text, it shuts our mouth so that we have no boasting whatsoever. It will cause us to do as Job did in Job 44. He says, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." Why is this? What did Job say previously? Why did he say this? Job 9:20, he says, "If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse." I in no way, by the grace of God, am I going to say that I am just by my own deeds. But this law, by this law, we will never be justified because we cannot do the deeds of the law. But in fact, we are already guilty, all guilty of the law. It tells us that in our text, that the law or work's purpose is to let us know that we are guilty. We might think or we might look pretty good before men. But we will not be justified by the works of the law, or that is, the deeds of the law, in God's sight. It does not matter what men see, or even what we see. It matters what God sees. The law of works, in fact, if God, by His grace, sends it to you this way, it will let you know you are sin and you do sin. Not everyone knows or thinks they are sin and that they do sin. Some actually think they're pretty good folk and that they have no sin. You can read James sometimes. He goes into that for us. But there are some who think they actually can do the works of the law. But even if I could, God tells us we will never be justified by the law of works. We also see it right here in this passage in God's Word. He tells us, as we see it here in verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
Amen.
What are we told previously in this chapter about both Jew and Gentile? We are all under sin. There's none righteous, not even one of us. None of us understand by nature, and none of us are seeking after God on our own. Because we are all out for our own way. We are unprofitable, and there is none of us that is good. If we would be righteous, and we are not. You can read further some time on that, but I'm sure everybody here is familiar with it. But then there are some who by His grace are taught that they have sinned and come short of His glory. This they are enabled to see by the law of faith. So next we have the law of faith. Faith is not something you can see with your physical eyes, nor can you touch it with your physical hands. But it is as real can be. But we cannot talk about this faith without talking about where it comes from. Faith has a source and faith has an object. That is, faith comes from somewhere or someone, and faith looks to somewhere or to someone. Faith comes from and faith looks to God. Jesus Christ is God. We do not come up with faith. Faith is eternal. We are told right here that the righteousness of God without the law, that is, the law of works, not that this law of faith is without works, but it is without our works.
Yes.
And especially any works of doing the deeds of the law, which is the law of works in the flesh. This law of faith is by the faith of Jesus Christ the Lord. As Kurt Carroll Poole has said before, and it's a good statement, you do not exercise faith. Faith exercises you. Faith is intrinsic to God, And it is in the face of Jesus Christ the Lord that we see this faith. It is by his faith that we see the righteousness of God without the law. Faith is not created. We're told in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith begins with Jesus Christ, and faith is perfected by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How does or did he perfect this faith? Or where do we see it all? He endured the cross. Mm-hmm. Talking about persecution, there's where we can see some persecution. As we read there in Hebrews, we see it manifested in what he did. It was a joy that was set before him, it says. We are also told in Scripture that faith is the gift of God. So it is.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The grace, the salvation, the faith is the gift of God. All of it is his gift if we are to have any faith at all. Faith is said to be, by God in Scripture, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and it goes on. Faith is intrinsic to Jesus Christ. It is his faith which saves. Faith is eternal because Jesus Christ is eternal. And I want to be as clear as I can be here. I'm not even talking about the faith which is given to us, although it is the same faith. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his faith to do the will of the Father and accomplishing what he was sent to do, enduring the cross. That faith that cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then he cries out because of his faith to the Father that he would raise him to life again someday. He cried this, or it says this, he gave up the ghost.
Yes,
sir. Only he could do that.
Yeah.
This is the faith of Christ doing this.
Mm-hmm.
By this, by the faith which is of Christ, his faith, which is the righteousness of God without the law, because our text says the faith of Christ is where this righteousness is manifested. Him doing this, that is dying on that tree, what are we told in our text that it gave to us? Romans 3:24 and 25. Being justified freely. Free to us, but it was not free to him.
Yes.
By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. Those sins that we have ungodly committed, they are remitted by his work.
Yes.
And not our works.
That's right.
For the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It finishes out. The law and the prophets both declare Jesus Christ as the righteousness of God without the law. That's what it says in that text. He is the one who kept the law every jot and tittle. And he is the one who was the sacrifice for sin, for all those who believe by his grace in giving them faith. So let's talk a little bit about faith given. Faith is not created in the believer. It is given to the believer in measure. The faith is mine because it is given to me. So I have nothing to boast in, for had he not given it to me, I would not have it, and I would not believe him. God does not believe for us. We do believe, but we believe by that God-given faith. Faith given by God, it gives you the ability to believe, and then you believe.
Yes.
He gives it to each of us in measure as he sees fit. It's just the right amount of faith.
Yes.
And just as he prayed for Peter's faith not to fail, the faith he gives us will not fail because he says he is our advocate.
Amen.
But we still have this flesh, and we are forced to cry out to God, just as the man in the multitude cried out, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Faith given to us looks to Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter. That is how I like to say it, because that's what the word means.
Yes.
Jesus Christ perfected it. He completed it. The author and the finisher of faith. So now let's go back to this law of faith for a minute. The scripture says that we must believe God or we will die in our sins. The Lord of glory, Jesus Christ himself, tells us this. This faith given, which looks to that which he has done, is what is counted to us for righteousness. This is based on what Jesus Christ the Lord did. That's what I'm trying to get at, drive home here. I like what was said by Don Fortner, and I've used this before, but Don says, faith in Christ will not put away your sin. Faith in Christ will not justify you. Faith in Christ will not make you righteous. Faith in Christ will not make you holy. Faith in Christ will not make you one of God's elect. Faith in Christ will not cause you to be born again. Faith in Christ is the evidence of it all.
Yes.
And I will add this. It is the evidence of all of what Jesus Christ did. When given to us and we believe, God counts that to us for righteousness. Turn over to Galatians 3 for a minute. Galatians 3 verses 5 and 6. He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?
Yes.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This faith given, which enables us to believe God and the record he gave of his son, is accounted, it says.
Yes, that's it.
And you all know this. This is not a judicial term, and it's not an accounting term, necessarily. This word is an inventory term. Walter's pointed this out before, and I really like it, because that is what the word means.
Yes.
If anyone's ever been a part of, you know, inventory time at work or whatever, you'll know what I'm talking about. But when you have an inventory, people go around and they count something that's there. If they get to a bin, they usually call it a bin. If you get to a bin and there's nothing there, do you count something? Do you put a one in there when there's nothing? If they do that, they are lying.
Yeah.
If we do, we are lying. But God does not lie. God counts it to us because it is there. Why? Because he put it there. It is the very faith of the Son of God who gave himself for us that is given to us. God is the one who is faithful. I can count on him to be faithful even when I am not. What can we conclude from all of this? I don't want to conclude this, but let's let God's word conclude the matter of this. Because Paul goes on to say in verse 28, he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Yes.
Now, I just read earlier a quote from Don, and we read here that scripture says that a man is justified by faith. The difference in those two statements is this. There is justification before God.
Mm-hmm.
And there is justification where man knows that he has been justified by the works of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Jesus Christ justified us before God.
Yeah.
His faith coming to us justifies us. It lets us know that what Christ did justified us. And that's what we're talking about. This justifying of faith spoken of here is when God gives us faith, and when we then come to know and to see Him whose faithfulness went to the cross for our sins, and then He raised for our justification before God. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have no hope unless we had a substitute to take our place and take our punishment for breaking God's law. The only deeds we have done as it concerns God's holy law is to break them. And I want you to understand me. God's law is holy, just, and good. There's nothing wrong with the law. There is something wrong with us. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that glory is much more than the law of work. That law is the faith of Jesus Christ who came down. God condescended and became a man made under the law that He might redeem them who are under the law. Yes. Who is under the law? Ask anyone out there. Most people will tell you they are not under the law. It does not hold me under its thumb is what they'll say. They will tell you how they keep God's law. But this flesh is under the law. And God be thanked, there are some who He lets know they are under this law. But if Jesus Christ the Lord has came down and taken your place, then He has taken the punishment due you for breaking of that law.
Yes,
freed, that means you have nothing to do with it anymore because you belong to someone else. You belong to that one who did the freeing, Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ did for us what the law could not do for us. He paid the debt of sin I owe. The law can't do nothing for you. You know the analogy of the x-ray. It can tell us that we're bad, but it doesn't make us what we are, and it doesn't fix what we are. But Jesus Christ can. He paid the debt of sin I owe. That is the righteousness of God without the law there, folks. There is no provision in the law to give life, to pay a debt of sin. It merely sheds light on our sin. Remember the x-ray. But we also read further in our text. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. It does not say we keep the law or that we do the law. We have already been told there that by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. So this is not saying you do the law by faith. We establish the law and hold it up in this way. Jesus Christ did everything for us. That's how we do it. We hold it up. We agree with God, we believe God, and His record that He has given of His Son, that Jesus Christ not only fulfilled the law every jot and tittle, He did something that the law and no one else could do. That is that righteousness without the law. He paid for the sins of those who have broken His law. He is, again as it says in our text, He is the just and the justifier of him which believes. What faithfulness we see in Jesus Christ the Lord as our substitute. Both do what is needed to pay our debt, but to also give us what is needed so that we might believe Him, enabling us to be saved. Not get saved, but be saved. There's no other safer place to be than that, than in Christ, right, Joe? In His hand. If you're looking to the law of works of the flesh, then you will perish. But if God, by His grace, has given you His faith, then He has, by this faith, let you know He has done all that is needed to secure your salvation. Can you believe Him? Now, I want to read something from Martin Luther, on the Bondage of the Will book. There's one paragraph I want to read, and I'll end with this. So. But this is, when someone comes to know who God is, this is a believer for you. Okay, so here we go. First, God has promised certainly his grace to the humbled, that is, to the self-deploring and despairing. But a man cannot be thoroughly humbled until he comes to know that his salvation is utterly beyond his own powers, counsel, endeavors, will, and works, and absolutely depending on the will, counsel, pleasure, and work of another, that is, of God only. For if, as he has any persuasion that he can do even the least thing himself towards his own salvation, he retain a confidence in himself and do not utterly despair in himself, so long he is not humbled before God, but he proposes to himself some place, some time, or some work, whereby he may at length attain unto salvation. But he who hesitates not to depend wholly upon the good will of God, he totally despairs in himself, choosing nothing for himself, but waits for God to work in him, and such an one is the nearest unto grace that he might be saved. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us once again to look into your words, dear Lord, hear your words. They are a comfort to us, dear Lord. Be with us all, dear Lord, as we go out and about, dear Lord. We can do nothing without you. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.